2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. I was having a conversation with somebody, I think it was last Sunday night, and we're talking about David. Of last Sunday's message, we're talking about, you know, where he killed Uriah, or had Uriah killed. And we preached that last Sunday, and we talked about how if it was up to us, what we would have left in the Bible and what we would have took out. Right? There, if I'd have been writing the Bible, I probably wouldn't have left in the bad parts. You know what I'm saying? Can I say it this way? We got Bible heroes. David is a Bible hero of ours. Is that not true? I don't know about you, but David slewing Goliath. That's a good one, right? But I wouldn't have left the story of Bathsheba in there, and I definitely wouldn't have took the story of him killing Uriah. And I probably wouldn't have got Psalm 51, which Psalm 51 helps me through a lot of stuff. Amen? Because God didn't want any sacrifice. He wants a clean heart. Amen? Golly, but the Bible leaves that in there for us. And tonight, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to kind of show you some stuff with Paul, because he's a Bible hero. And they leave some stuff in the Bible about him that, as a Christian, sometimes I say, man, I wish that wasn't in there. But now that I'm getting older, and some of y'all, I know some of y'all are veterans, right, a little bit older. But in your 40s, golly, I know, man, I just feel Earl's eyes on me. Earl, don't look at me that way, all right, Earl? I'm just kidding, he's not looking. But this last few years, my body's told, like, it's like, hey, hello, you're not going to live forever. I'm serious. I mean, my 20s, you couldn't have convinced me I wasn't going to live forever. In my 30s, I lived like I was going to live forever. I'd feel some, you know, twinges here and there. But, man, 46, boy. I know. Somebody go ahead and give me the baby stuff. I get it. But there's times you wake up and you go, man, I don't wonder if today's the day. Some of you that's older than that should be sitting right here going, amen, brother. I should have got an amen out of some of y'all. But what I'm saying is, man, the Bible's so good because it don't leave out the fact that we're immortal. No, we're mortal. And if you're saved, you're immortal. You're going to heaven, right? Oh, God. Let's just get it. Y'all ready? If you're not at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 right now, repent. Because I gave y'all plenty of time. I mean, I went on a whole rant there to get you to 12, right? Are y'all excited about reading this with me? Read it with me. Right here, look at it. I don't understand this first part, but I want y'all to read it with me. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to vision and revelations of the Lord. I don't really understand that verse. Is that all right as a preacher to say that? Because at first it sounds like he's going to say, I'm not gonna blow you away with some stuff that I know, but then he turns right around and blows us away with some stuff he knows. Amen. Is anybody else reading that when you read it? It's like he's saying, it's not expedient, it's not good for me to glory, doubtless glory. I will come to about these visions and revelations I got. God, y'all stay with me. But I'm about to give you one of these big revelations. Watch this. Y'all ready? Listen, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. He says there was a time 14 years ago, whether I was in the body, I don't know, or if I was out of the body, I don't know. I don't know, but God knows. Man, this is God. It's big stuff. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. He said, I don't know if I was in my body or not, or if I was out of the body, but there's this guy who come along, and he took me up to the third heaven. And now some of y'all that y'all digging the Word of God, and you try to find all this weird, neat, crazy stuff in there, you thought, oh, there's a third heaven, and you got to do this to get to the third heaven, you got to get to the second level, to first level. No, that didn't say any of that. It just said there is one. Amen? There is a third level of heaven. How do you get? I don't know. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if there's a basement, first level, second level, third level. Praise God. If I'm in the basement of heaven, fine. I'll be a basement dwelling heaven guy. Oh, come on. It's all right to smile. It's Sunday night. We're family here. Just chill for a minute. That's not like the way you uncross your hand in your mind and just chill out. But praise God. He got pulled up into this third heaven, and he is riding high. He is talking about, man, he remembered something. He's telling us about it. He goes, man, this spirit, whatever it was, took me up into the third heaven, and I was there. Wow. Amen? Look at this. In verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. He does it again. He's like, I don't know what was going on. You know how you know God's in something? Is you don't even know how it works. He's just saying, like, look, I don't know if I was awake or asleep, up in the body, out of the body. I don't really know, but God knows. But it was going on. Man, have you ever been to church? Have you ever been in the Spirit of God, and God's got you going so good, but you don't even know why? Like this morning, I mean, I was weeping. I was leaving church. I was like, man, why? There was a joy, a peace, a happiness, something in there bigger than me. Amen? And I know people who look at that from the outside of the world and say, man, why are they always crying? What are they so upset about? We're not upset. The Holy Spirit's in the room. And when he gets in here, he's bigger. Praise God. Do you know, I don't even mean to preach this way, but guess what? You know your tear ducts are there to clean your eyes out? There's no explanation for crying. There's no explanation for crying when there's nothing to cry about. When you get overwhelmed, your body, when it gets overwhelmed, guess what your tear ducts say? Your body's overwhelmed with joy. Weep. I think your brain was made by God. And when God shows up big, your brain just goes, I'm out of control. Y'all just hang on with me. It sends out a signal throughout the whole body, I'm out of control. Let the tear ducts grow first. Let the tear ducts go first. Ain't you glad it's the tear ducts that go first? Oh, you'll get my humor later on when you're riding down the road. Amen? Some of y'all already got it. Good. Verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard an unspeakable word. And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Do you know what? He got up into heaven, and they were talking about things, and he couldn't even talk about it. Do you know Daniel and John the Revelator both heard things, and they were going to write them down and tell us about it? But you know what? God said, don't say it. There are some things that are going on in heaven that we don't even get to know about, because I believe if it was written, praise God, we would be dangerous. I'm serious. I think we'd get up every morning and go, all right, devil, what do you got? I'm ready. I read that. And you know what? It's like God is right outside the door, and he's ready to come at any moment. Praise God, if I die, I'm going to be in this great place. And we should think like that anyway. We should. We should be resurrection-minded Christians. Right now, as soon as that rolled off my lips, guess what I did this week? I just set myself up for a week full of misery right there. My wife right now is making a note going, thanks, Kevin, for mentioning resurrection living. Amen? Because the devil does not mind for you to live at the cross. He don't. He don't mind for you to live at the cross where you're guilty and full of shame. And guess what? I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm a sinner. And he does not mind you living there. Some of y'all getting upset, but listen, I love the cross. Without the cross, we have no salvation. Without the cross, we have nothing. But praise God, there is a resurrection day. We are a part of it. There is a bigger thing after this. If you lived like you were a part of the resurrection, man, the devil wouldn't scare you to death about everything. We're going under. I'm broke. I'm dying. Honestly. You know, you'd say, if I'm dying, praise God, I'm going to be in heaven when I draw my last breath. If that's the worst thing you can do to me is send me to heaven, my goodness gracious. I mean, we should be looking for trouble. We should be the Doc Holidays of Christianity. And if you don't know what that is, you've missed out on an amazing movie. Doc Holiday, he had tuberculosis. He was a dead man. But guess what? Instead of that, he became a gunfighter. He was ready to die. So every time somebody said, anybody want a gunfight? He's like, go ahead, I'm your huckleberry. And if you don't know what that means, I'm sorry. But this is real bad news. Okay, anybody got a taste for blood? Doc Holliday's, I'm your huckleberry. Why? Why was he his huckleberry? Because if I live, I live. If I die, I'm out of my misery. Draw. As soon as the guy seen it was him, he went, I wasn't talking about you. Huh? Wouldn't it be cool if the devil started picking fights with people, but all of a sudden you stood up and said, I'll be your huckleberry. I wasn't talking about you. I didn't want to fight with you, because you'll fight with Jesus. Amen? You'll fight with joy and happiness. When I give you trouble, you give me scripture. When I give you pain, you come back with praise God. You must think, I ain't even got to where I want to preach. On the way to church tonight, I thought, man, this is going to be some dry stuff. This is going to be like eating cornbread in the desert. I don't know if I can preach one of those, but I'm trying. Amen? All right, let's look. Verse 5, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Paul just said, this is what I was talking about when I preached this. If you serve God long enough, and if you serve God willingly enough, and you become a willing vessel to serve in any capacity for God, you will have some days that you will be at the top. I mean, you will be like on top of the mountain. There are some days that when I get to preach or I get to teach or I get to sow into somebody's life, I mean, I'm just like, I say it out of my mouth sometimes. I can't believe I get to do this for a living. And sometimes it's not 30 minutes later, an hour later, the devil will hit me so hard that I'll think, how do I get out of this? I hope y'all are, if you don't like my reality on truth, that's true. You can get so high. Like Paul, he was sitting there, listen to what he's saying right here. Paul's saying, I went up into the third heavens. The next words out of his mouth, I glorify in my infirmities. Because he's about to take you from the third heavens to his worst pain. I wish I had some. Is there people in here that would say there ain't a whole lot of space between that? Amen? Because sometimes you can be at your highest high and just a few minutes low, you can be at your lowest low. That's a fine line. Amen. Fine. Yeah, that's a good word. Fine line. Listen, verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any should think me above that which seeth me to be, and there that he heareth of me. Verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through abundance of revelations. You know what he's saying? Unless my head gets about this big. And I'm walking around and goes, man, God just can't do without me. Amen? Have you ever thought that? They can't do it without me. They can't replace me. God will put something in your flesh to let you know real quick. Amen. Listen to this. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not. Verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. Listen to this. There was given me a thorn in the flesh. Listen with this next part, because I want y'all to hear, because this is clear. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Do y'all see that part right there? It says, underline this and highlight it, or make a note outside of your Bible if you don't write in your Bible. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Man, that is, Paul done us all a favor by putting that in there. Because Paul had all these revelations, he had made it through all this stuff, and he had shipwrecks, beatings. I mean, and God was using him in amazing ways. I mean, big time ways. And then all of a sudden, he started showing him big time things like these revelations. All the things God was doing through Paul. And all of a sudden, there was a messenger in the flesh. Has anybody had a messenger in the flesh? There's something in your body that shouldn't be there. A hurt, a sickness, a pain, something that bothers you so bad that it wrecks you. He went right to God. Hey, and why he said, I want y'all to get this. Why he said it's a messenger of Satan? Because as soon as that thing hits, or as soon as that thing starts happening, or as soon as it happens again, it's like Satan himself crawls up right on your ear and whispers in your ear, boy, if God loved you, he wouldn't let you go through that. Is there anybody in here dealt with that? You might not have told anybody, but man, he got right there and he whispered in your ear and said, boy, if God was really, really loving you, why? He's healing everybody else. Man, that one person, you know, they don't even go to church. They don't even pray. And they're healthier than you are. Man, is it not a messenger? And what it says, buffet me, hey man, you know, that thing just keeps smashing against you, smashing against your life. And I mean, it's weird, man. Everybody else just been having the time of their life, blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. Some of them get silly with, I'm flavored. And you're sitting over here going, I just want to live. I just want relief. Amen? But this messenger sitting here, and I'm starting to come unglued. Let me get it to you. Watch. Lest I should be exalted. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord. What? Who? For I besought the Lord thrice. How many? Thrice. Is that three times? Okay, I was making sure because I don't know what thrice is. That it might depart. Paul didn't have to pray. He didn't have to pray three things for anybody else. He got to preaching all night. One night, boy fell out of the window and died. Wake up, son. That's good preaching. Oh, that's what I would have said. Wake up. Get up. Sit up. One time. How many people did he pray for? They received the Spirit of God. It's like, oh man, I love God and I love to get. Man, you give a good advice to people that are in trouble in their marriage, and praise God, their marriage works out. You're in trouble. You don't tell me, oh, this is what you do to raise these kids. Hey, man, help their kids. Their kids get off drugs. Their kids start going. Their kids start doing. Your kids. Huh? Can I throw something else in there real quick while I'm at that right there? Can I just sidebar preach, just come off there just for a minute? Be careful when you start comparing your kids to other people's kids. Because if they're not like 60 yet, amen, don't say it too soon. My kids ain't never. if you hold on long enough, you might be praying for what their kid was doing. Can I get amen? Because sometimes we just think we're great parents, and God just gave us, God gave us what we can handle. Oh, never. Huh? He prayed three times. Oh, man, you give good advice. You give good prayers. You're healing everybody. Everybody else is coming to you. Give me a word. Give me a word. And you're just like, bam, bam, bam. There's you a word. There's you a word. You get a word. You get a word. There's a word for you. And all of a sudden, hey, all of a sudden, you're above. Hey, God. It's Paul. It's Paul. I know you see me down here. Paul, hey, God, if you remove this, I can write better. Huh? If you remove this, I'll write for you better. No? Hey, God, it's me again. We seen 10 saved, 20 baptized. We put another church down in Macedonia. Man, we're seeing souls saved, lives changed. We cast the devil out of one girl. This one girl followed us around for days. I turned around and I rebuked her, and the devil came out. Praise God, we was up there, and the prisoner, he come in here, he's going to kill himself. And I said, do yourself no harm. The whole prison got saved. God, I want a word. I'll preach better if you take this out of my flesh. You don't think I'll be better for you? God, I wish I could talk to y'all like, God, it's me. I'm not a stranger. I mean, you know, Paul said, like, I mean, I was on the road to Damascus. I didn't knock you down, you knocked me down. I didn't arrest you, you arrested me. How can't you? I got this infirmity, and it's killing me, Lord. I love God. If y'all notice in verse 9, y'all see something that I don't see? Y'all, I mean, maybe y'all see, a 9, but y'all see something that stands out at you? It's in red letters. He got an answer. And God, I mean, y'all, that just stands out. You know what he was saying right there? I got an answer straight from God. I don't like the answer either. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what God said to him? I want y'all to get this. He said, When I made you, I made you to specification. Okay, in this room, I'm praying. In this room, we got a floor system. When they built this floor system, what they said is, we can put up to 150 people in there. And guess what? That floor system is going to hold them no matter what, because it was made for that. And you come in here every Sunday, every Wednesday and Sunday night, and you sit down comfortably in a design that this room was made to hold you up. The people who made this flooring system said, this will hold. You can rest in what we've made. And what you do is you come in here and you kick both feet up and you sit down in pews and you sit there and you're like, well, let's ride. Amen? God said, listen, when I saved you, I put enough grace in you to hold what I'm going to put on you and in you. Whew. Huh? Some of y'all need to get excited about that. It is scary, but everything you're going through, God's grace is sufficient. You can hold it because I made you that way. I made you that the grace that's in you will help you go through this. You're not going through this because I don't know who you are. You're going through this because I know exactly who you are. You can handle it. You can handle it because I made you this way. That grace that's in you, it's there for a reason. Remember when Paul wrote to Timothy and said, be strong in the grace of the Lord? He didn't write that because he didn't know what he was talking about. He wrote that because, hey, on my worst day, in my worst storm, when I can't see, when I can't think, when I don't feel, guess when I'm being buffeted and when the devil's standing on my shoulder, I turn to God's grace. Do you know what that looks like? Can I tell you what it looks like? Can I tell you what it... Some of y'all can testify better than I can to what it looks like. Is when the devil crawls up on your shoulder and said, why did God give this to such a great man who served him for the last 20 years in the worst places? Huh? That's what I get a lot. I get that. It crawls right up in my ear. I'll give you two things that he gives me all the time. Why does he do that to a man who served him night and day for 20 years in the worst places ever? Why do you trust in a God who would do that to somebody you love that much? Y'all want the second one? Y'all want the second one? He's going to do the same thing to you. He's going to do the same thing to you. You know what my rebuttal is? Every single time, I'm saved. And that's good enough. I'm saved. He could have left me in my sin. He could have let me keep walking down a path, and I could live to 100 years old and never have a health issue and die and go into hell for eternity. Loss, failure, utter failure of life. Amen? the worst things can happen to you. But if you're under His grace, there's God's doing bigger things, amen, than just a people thing. He's working on the whole world, amen. His grace is sufficient. So when the devil whispers in your ear and says stuff like that, just remind him of two things. I'm saved and His future. Amen? I'm saved. Praise God. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but whatever happens at the end of this, I'll be standing in the company of God, and I'll be watching you getting pushed off into eternity in the lake of fire. And guess what? I hope I get the last nudge. Amen? I hope I get one of the last nudges. Amen? Because you're going. Your fate's already been sealed. Amen? I love that. It's Paul. Amen? It was Paul. He prayed three times. God, remove this from me. Do y'all remember anybody else in the Bible who did that? Jesus. Hey, God, I'm down here. I made it. The plan's going great. But if it be your will, let this cup pass. Go back, come back, go back, come back. God, it's me again. It's your son. If you will, let this cup pass. I've prayed three times. But if you're not going to remove it, your will be done. Some of y'all need to make up your mind. I don't care what I'm going through, God. Let your will be done. As we all stand.